Every Sunday, we remember that Christ is risen. It is the first day of the week. That's when they found the empty tomb. But we also know that in history, about 2,000 years ago, it was at this time of year that he did rise from the dead. At the old Feast of Passover, which we now refer to as Easter. So there's a kind of historical point. Almost 2,000 years ago, he rose from the dead. And yet every Lord's Day, we remember it. Now, that's why we've looked at Luke chapter 24, and what David read and I read, really there are three things there. There is the resurrection of Christ. There is his appearance to his disciples. He met his disciples. And then there is his ascension. He ascended into heaven. Now, just as a matter of interest, Luke makes it absolutely clear that he knows that he is recording history. This is not myth or imagination. This is cold, sober history. And just as a matter of interest, in chapter 24, Luke has condensed what actually 40 days. Our Lord was with his disciples for 40 days. But Luke has just selected a small amount and told us about that. Excuse me. Now, the thing is this. There are two events which are the absolute foundation of the Christian faith. One of those events is the crucifixion. And the second of those events is the resurrection. These are foundational to the Christian faith. And one of the questions that many have asked is, did these things really happen? Did they really happen? Do you believe they really took place? That Christ was crucified and did rise? Well, let me say to you that the fact of the cross, the fact of the crucifixion, has been well attested outside the Bible, not just inside the Bible. So that I think that any sane historian would say to you, it is undeniable that Jesus Christ was crucified. The Jewish historian Josephus, Flavius Josephus, who lived at the same time as the apostles, more or less, he spoke about it. The Roman historian Tacitus, who was writing a tiny bit later, he wrote this in his annals: Christ suffered the extreme penalty, that's crucifixion, during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one of our procurators, Pontius Pilate. And there are many other references outside the Bible to his crucifixion. So you'd have to be mad, I think, to deny the historicity of the crucifixion. But what about the resurrection? One day when Peter was preaching, he made it quite clear that the risen Christ did not show himself to all the world, but only to chosen witnesses. And when he speaks about chosen witnesses, he's speaking about his apostles, first of all. You are witnesses of these things. And as I read to you from Corinthians, Paul says, do you know, more than 500 brethren at one time saw him alive, and many of them, he says, this is about 55 AD, many of them are alive to this day, as if he's saying, I invite you to go and talk to the witnesses. They've all gone now, but they were there then. But I want to say this to you. Some have denied the resurrection of Christ. That's a fact. The chief priests wanted to deny it. And the guards denied it. But they lied. And there were some, even in the church in Corinth, a little bit later, who, for some reason or other, had got muddled up and were denying the resurrection. And we don't need to worry too much about that. But let me say this to you. No one has ever offered a shred of evidence that the resurrection did not take place. No one has disproved it, not even a shred of evidence. If someone wants to deny the resurrection, ask them for their proof. How do you prove that? What it comes down to in the end is just sheer unbelief, a refusal to believe what the Bible is telling you, the witnesses in Scripture are telling you. Now, I want to say three things about this morning. And by the way, Benjamin will be preaching on the same area of Scripture tonight, and it doesn't matter a bit if he repeats this. This is worth repeating. All right, but three things. First of all, if Christ is not risen, then we have a complete catastrophe. It is the complete destruction of the Christian faith. If Christ is not risen, Christianity is destroyed. That's it. That's the bottom line. No resurrection, no Christianity. Paul says this to the Corinthians, listen. If Christ, this is 1 Corinthians 15, 17, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. The word futile means there's no truth in it. It's an empty thing. It's false. It's useless. It's fruitless. Your faith is futile if Christ is not risen. In other words, the whole gospel, the entire message of Scripture, all that we believe, stands or falls by the reality of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul goes on, if he is not risen, you are still in your sins. What does he mean? He means that if Christ is not risen, then God the Father never accepted his sacrifice on the cross at Calvary, and you have no Lamb of God, and you are still guilty in the sight of God. You are still in your sins if Christ is not risen. The resurrection was kind of God's signal of approval. I accept my beloved Son's death. I am satisfied, and my people are forgiven. Paul goes on, and then he says, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. In other words, if Christ is not risen, you and I have no hope, nothing to hang on to. There's no future resurrection for you and me. And every one of our friends and family who have died believing in Christ are lost. We've lost them. They've perished. There is going to be no second coming. There is no heaven, no new heavens and earth to look forward to. It's all in vain. So, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins, he says, and those that you have loved and died, you've lost them. And finally, he says, and if Christ is not risen, then everything that you ever do for the Lord Jesus Christ in serving him and his church is a waste of your life. Now there you are. Paul says, if Christ is not risen, it would be much better to go and party on until your life's over. He says, if Christ is not risen, we, Christians who believe this, are of all men the most miserable, the most pitiable. In other words, it's a great tragedy. It's the greatest tragedy that you can imagine if this is not true. So if Christ, first of all, if Christ is not risen, we have an absolute disaster on our hands. We have a catastrophe on our hands. We are all wasting our time here this morning and this evening. That's what Paul says. That's what hangs on this. So, secondly, I want to say this to you, that it is absolutely certain that Christ is risen. it is absolutely certain that none of those consequences are true. Let me say this to you very briefly this morning. First of all, there were many witnesses who saw the Lord Jesus Christ alive, raised after his death. There are witnesses galore. It's one of the most witnessed to event in the records of history. There are many witnesses. That's the first thing. Secondly, there is the fact of the empty tomb. There is no body. And what is even more striking is that the grave clothes that he was wrapped in were left lying folded in the tomb. And I've always thought that if the disciples were going to sneak past those guards while they were guarding the tomb and steal his body, the last thing on earth they would have done is stopped to unwrap it first. Absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous. There is the fact of the grave clothes. They're no longer needed. So we have the witnesses. We have the evidence of the empty tomb. We have the whole of the Old Testament, which was written sometime between 1500 before Christ and 400 before Christ. So at the latest, at least 400 years before, right? The whole Old Testament foretold of his death and resurrection. He was able to speak to those disciples and say, let's go to the law of Moses. Let's go to the prophets. Let's go to the Psalms. And when he speaks of the Psalms, I think he means, and the other writings joined to them. They all foretold that he would suffer and rise from the dead. It's right throughout the Old Testament. They had probably not seen it until he explained it. But it's all there, as you and I know. And then we can go on and think about other things. The miracles that were done in his name and the existence of the church today. But I want to say this on this. There is one witness that we have. One witness that we have today. And that witness is the Holy Spirit of God. Christ said, it's in John chapter 15. He said this, when the Comforter comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, listen, he will testify of me. In other words, the Holy Spirit today testifies in the church that Christ is risen. In other places, in Paul's letter to the Romans, 1 John, the apostles speak about the Holy Spirit as the internal witness. In other words, when a person is born again of Christ, born again of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit within him is testifying to him. He is opening the understanding and persuading and convincing us to the point that a Christian who is born again will find it impossible to deny it. Ask a Christian to deny the resurrection of Christ. He cannot do it. Why can he not do it? Because the Holy Spirit has convinced him of what is true. We have one great living witness within us today. If you're a Christian, you know what I'm talking about. You know that the Holy Spirit has convinced you of the truth. There's no room for doubt anymore. So, although it would be a catastrophe if this were not true, the evidence is overwhelming and persuasive. And I can say, and you can believe this morning, that it is absolutely certain that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And much else, of course, that he is alive today and ascended in heaven, and that he's coming again. We are waiting to see him. Our eyes are on the sky. One day the sky will be divided and we will see him. Now then, finally, let me finish. How does this affect you and me? Well, there are three things I want to say to you very briefly. First of all, we know today that God has accepted Christ's death as a sacrifice for our sins. When we know that Christ is risen, we know that God the Father has accepted his death as an atonement for our sins. We know it. And therefore we are assured that our sins are forgiven. The Christian has a kind of boldness or confidence before God, even though he may be ashamed of himself, and we are, yet we are bold in Christ because we know that God has accepted his death for us. So that's the first thing. We know that we are forgiven. We have the proof. What a precious thing it is to have the assurance of the forgiveness of sins. When you come to this table in a moment, if you partake, remember his death and remember his resurrection. See, these symbols, this bread and this wine, God accepted Calvary for us. So that's the first thing. Great confidence, peace, joy, boldness in Christ. Secondly, we also know that Jesus Christ will return. We know that he will come to receive us to himself. And the scripture says, he says that he will come and his reward is with him. One thing that's very striking about a Christian, you know, when you get older, if you talk to older people, very often it's sad that an older person will be thinking back, looking back into the past about their life, and sometimes perhaps bitter or regretful. They're backward looking. The Christian is forward looking. When the Christian lies on his deathbed, yes, he may remember what has happened, but he is looking to be with Christ. He is looking for his return. We are forward looking because we have a future in Christ. We know that he will return. And thirdly, and this is really important for us today, we know that the Christian life is not a wasted life. If Christ were not risen, we'd be wasting our lives. Doesn't that frighten you, the prospect of wasting your life? Someone said once, you only get one life, so make it count. What a terrible thing to waste your life. But people waste their life on all kinds of things. They waste their life on, as Paul puts it there, let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. They waste their life. Imagine a life devoted to sport. As nice as the sport might be, that is a waste of a life. But the Christian is not wasting his life. This encourages us. Right? This really encourages us to live the Christian life. It spurs us on. And it gives us purpose and direction. Christ speaks about this direction everywhere. He says, lay up treasure in heaven, not on earth. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't waste your life on the things that are passing away. Invest the brief time that you have in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this. Whatever you do, whatever I do, to serve Jesus Christ and his people is not lost. It is not wasted. God is not so unjust to forget your labor of love. Your love to the brethren, your witness to the world is not wasted, because today we know Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Amen.